Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan, joined by Shane and Jack as usual. And tonight we have some kind of late breaking news going on per FAU Owl's Nest. Broke this earlier today that starting quarterback Chris Robeson is no longer a part of the FAU football program. The roster came out today and he was not a member of that. And this is some pretty major news that we have here. And so we thought we would, as usual, kind of break that down, see what it means for, see what it means moving forward, what the QB room is going to look like. Certainly we have a highly touted quarterback coming in, but that's not going to be until 2021. And we can talk a little bit about what it's like, you know, what maybe the expectations are and how we can temper those to see what's going on for the future. So I think, you know, you are looking at really a challenging situation. Chris Robeson, who as many, if you're not as familiar with FAU, you know that he was dismissed from the Oklahoma football team. He had some trouble last year. He was suspended for all of the spring last year as well. So I mean, he's certainly no stranger to trouble. And I think, you know, I think a lot of times this can happen where there's new administration and a new coach that comes in that says, all right, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to bother. You know, you're causing trouble. We're going to move on. Certainly disappointing because he is looking at the record books here. And I think he is third or fourth on the list in career passing. He's third with 6,000 yards, which he very, very realistically could have passed Rusty Smith this coming year. And certainly with 2 years left, he would have shattered just about every single QB record at FAU. So really a challenging thing. And I'm not gonna bash anybody's character or anything like that. That's not what we're here for. You know, wish him well. Hopefully he can get things sorted out. But I don't know. That's pretty tough and another curveball headed into this year. So I don't know, Shane, what are your initial thoughts when you, kind of first were there to help break the story?
Yeah. Just real first shout out to Rick Henderson and Jack Wood in here. You know, it was a big team effort with the Owl's Nest and, you know, kind of one of us initially getting some info, some confirming it, and, you know, Jack putting together the story and all of us working together. Obviously, you know, this is bigger, you know, certain guard would other commit. So, you know, the Owl's Nest team really worked really well together and just, you know, broke the story. You know, as for it, I mean, what can I say? Chris Robeson was the best player in Conference USA, and we just lost him. You know, kind of even in a big picture way, if you look back to last season's team, we probably lost our top five best players at this point. James Pierre left early, Harrison Bryant, Kiki's not currently on the roster. We will talk about that in a little bit, and Chris Robeson. So it's tough, but we've gone through this with him before. Now, again, I want to emphasize, we do not know why he's off the team. Exactly, okay? We're just told he was no longer with the program. He is not in the transfer portal, okay? And I think if he was transferring or something like that, he would have announced it. He was working out with the team before they were all, you know, they're, you know, COVID struck and everyone had to go home, okay? So, you know, he was planning on coming back. So we're FAU and everything FAU. You know, we know this kid's been on, I don't know how many strikes now. So could he have done something really small that was just kind of the final edge, or could it be something big? I want to emphasize Tronti is probably going to be taking reps with the first team. It's another monkey riding the wheel of what is kind of a crazy bad offseason for so many reasons with COVID, coaching changes, going into the season for FAU.
Yeah, it's just another bad thing, like you just mentioned, Shane. I was really starting to get excited. Now that, you know, fall camp is here, I was excited to see some of the recruits come in. Now that we have a general idea of what the schedule is going to be looking like, it seemed like things were looking up and up, and then this just kind of makes things worse all over again. Robinson, I mean, he just broke the single season passing record last year. On top of him having a lot of great career stats, he just broke the record for most passing yards in a single season. He was first team all conference. He was on the Manning Award list going into the season. And this is what, his third incident that we know of at FAU. Like you said, Shane, we don't really know what happened, but he was suspended within the very first practice of spring ball in 2018. We then had the sexual assault allegations last spring. So it's just not a good situation. The thing that I hate the most is seeing kids with true God-given talent kind of get in really bad situations like this one. And you have to think, with Chris at the helm, FAU, even though some of the Vegas sport books were looking the other way, FAU still had to be the favorite to repeat as CUSA champions going into 2020. Now, I don't know. And it's just weird because we don't even know what happened. He deleted his social media too, guys. I remember, Shane, you mentioned that, you know, he was all FAU everything in the spring, and now it's deleted.
There is another Instagram account. He said it got hacked. Regardless, you know, who knows?
Like, who knows? That's even him.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of the tea leaves were there, and something fell off. Like I said, he wasn't on any of the workout reports over the last few weeks since they come back. You know, our FAU strength coach is very active on social media posting. It's really cool, you know, seeing a lot of the guys, you know, what they're running and, you know, some cool informational things. But you didn't see your starting quarterback's there's name, and, you know, that's kind of sign one.
We saw Tronti, though. We saw Tronti's name.
Yes, and we did see Tronti, and I think it's a little bit time to transition into what can we expect. You know, I first want to emphasize this. So we have Nick Tronti, which is great. He played last year. Nick Tronti, for those who don't know or maybe don't remember, Nick Tronti was Mr. Florida football in 2016. Okay, pretty much named the best high school football player in 2016. Took his Ponte Vedra High School to a state championship game where they lost a very close back and forth battle with, you know, American Heritage, who's a powerhouse. He, you know, was recruited to Indiana, a Big Ten school, went up there, I believe had like some sort of illness and it was just best for him. So he transferred back to a school closer to home and, you know, contributed on the team last year. He pretty much single-handedly won the end of the Western Kentucky game for us, had a catch in that game. Yeah. You know, we know he's a big athletic kid. Like Jack just pointed out, if you kind of check out some of those weightlifting numbers, man, there was thoughts to me before even some of this stuff was happening with Chris of like, man, maybe even move Tronti around to different positions just to get him involved because he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
Now, we just don't have some random guy we're going to potentially start. Now, to kind of counteract that, man, last fall, Chris was 10 steps ahead of Tronti. I mean, you could just see a noticeable difference. There were still issues with turning over the ball in some of the passing game, you know, with Tronti. Now, does he have to be Chris for us to win a bunch of games? No. He needs to be about as good as Ashro O'Hare or Chris Reynolds, two similar Conference USA quarterbacks, okay? You know, he has a lot more weapons on this team, especially in the running backs. All FU fans know how deep our backfield is. You know, I even saw, obviously, obvious jokes on Twitter. We can essentially run the veer. The wishbone offense this year at the backs we have in Nick Tronti and probably be a bowl team, okay? Maybe with the Georgia Southern game, right now that's technically our first game, not until September 19th. Hopefully with practice starting tomorrow, he gets a full full month and a half. That extra half a month maybe kind of makes up for the spring. I fully believe in Nick Tronti, but let's not even – he's not – Chris Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, Robinson is a top five G5 quarterback. and that's widely accepted throughout the country. He's arguably, going into this year, going to be the best quarterback in the entire state of Florida. Better than Trask, if you ask me, that's for sure. Silver lining, if this is going to happen, I think it's okay that it happened this year because of all the new weapons that we have at receiver. That definitely helps a lot. So like you said, we don't need Tronte to be Robinson. He can just be like Chris Reynolds at Charlotte, O'Hara at Middle Tennessee. Both those guys, by the way, are looking like the top quarterbacks in Conference USA. Who saw that one coming? But behind Tronte, you have fellow redshirt junior Justin Agner, redshirt sophomore Cordell Littlejohn, true sophomore Javion Posey, who seems to have switched back to the quarterback position after being at wide receiver last year. And then we have Willie Taggart Jr. listed as a quarterback as well. So I think this is Tronte's team, no doubt about it. We'll see what happens, especially with the younger guys. But, guys, it still sucks, man. He was a gunslinger.
Yeah, it's I mean, you're losing an all conference talent with 2 years left to lead the team. You know, come in and be that more senior leadership, and just it's a sucky thing. You have to think like Shador Sanders committing and saying in his commitment video that he wanted to play early on. Would have been coming in with a firmly established senior leader. You know, you wonder, did that impact his decision much? But you know, again, I kind of echo what you guys would say. Tronte, I think he's going to be different. He didn't really pass all that much, and I think he didn't need to. Like it was really interesting that teams when he was in the game knew that he was going to run the ball and he was still successful. I mean, I think that says a lot about the offensive line. It says a lot about his skills and talent and, you know, physical ability. We definitely saw he's a powerful runner. So again, the offense hopefully can adjust to his strengths, and you know, all hope is not lost. Like you said, Shane, it's not just some random person, somebody who's got a lot of game experience, somebody who's been around for a while now. And I definitely think it's I feel a little bit more confident with that for sure.
I also want to point out though, he's got to take the next step passing. You know, when you come in the game and you hand off to Malcolm Davidson against Middle Tennessee and you're kind of a different element, and the defense isn't spending a whole week preparing for you, it's a little different, okay? If you can't be one-dimensional, I think your best-case scenario, it has to be like 2017, where you kind of saw Driscoll do a little bit more and more. Okay, you could always hand off to Motor for 8 yards to carry. But, you know, every week it was, okay, we're going to add these passes to Harrison Bryan, and then we're going to add some of these, you know, the end-arounds with Willie Wright, we're kind of expanding, and then some of the deep passes to Caleb Woods. You know, we're developing later in the season. So that's kind of your best case scenario, which is a great scenario.
Yeah, no, I agree. So things could definitely be worse. So it's not all doom and gloom, Owl Nation. It is another layer of uncertainty, but that's 2020 in a nutshell right now. And we just got to take it on the chin and move on. That's something that I think Coach Taggart has trying to instill, is that we have to have a next man up mentality. If we want to be one of the upper echelon group of five programs, that's the kind of mentality that we need. And we're going to see how legit that mentality is. So, you know, speaking of next man up, Shane mentioned this earlier, Kiki Leroy returned to the roster late summer. Then this afternoon was taken off the roster. This comes from our own Rick Henderson. There's some quiet confidence that this will all be taken care of. We're just waiting on one more little thing with academics, as how it looks right now. That would be massive, because we've been talking about all offseason, guys, about how the linebacker depth is really worrisome, especially as we start to move into a 3-4. So, again, at least we're going to have some news on that. We're going to have a definitive yes or no in the coming weeks. And God forbid if it is a no, we have all this time, an extra month to start practicing without him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hopefully he comes back. That'd be one little bit of good news. And, you know, at this point, though, you know, not to bury the negative, again, all this conversation of who plays where and what this season might look like, you know, might be null and void a couple weeks into the season, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Major league franchises who are not in a bubble, which college football will not be in a bubble. They'll probably be, again, as we've talked about on this podcast multiple times, probably the worst place, a college campus. And, you know, the next man up mentality might have to happen when X amount of players for either team around the country test positive. So, there is part of me that looks at this season as just a total anomaly. Like, there's just nothing normal. This is just Wild West. Who knows how many games we get off. Like, you look back at this year and you say, this was just something off to the side. It's not a trend of where any football program, a reflection of any football program in this country. If you do well, great. If you don't, hopefully when the calendar turns, you just put it all behind you, get back to where your original goals were, which obviously you've seen FAU's still been recruiting really well, at 27 commits, a lot of great local talent.
Yep.
And they keep doing that no matter what happens this year in this short-term crazy year, the future. And you know me, I've not been crazy about this phrase, but the future is bright. FAU's bringing a lot of talented football players. So we'll be fine.
Quick lightning round then. If you don't mind, Dan, quick lightning round and then Shane. Are you guys still confident that we can repeat? Dan? With all this news and COVID?
But it's, I think there's more to it than that. But no, I think the, there's my lightning round. No.
Shane, what about you?
I am. Yeah. Let's just say hypothetically we can play, let's say 10 conference, I don't know, whatever our schedule is, we play 10 games. I'm confident we can repeat. Again, the rest of Conference USA for every issue we have, most of those teams. Again, Western Kentucky doesn't have a starting quarterback. Their quarterback transferred, who started last year, Ty Story, and Marshall just lost their starting quarterback. FIU has a funky quarterback situation. UNC Charlotte and Middle Tennessee brought their quarterbacks back, but I'm going to say it regardless, with or without Chris Robinson, we are more talented than them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Can those teams beat us on a given day? Yes. But, you know, FAU still recruited well. FAU still has a lot of really good football players on this team. So, yes, in a bubble, if we played these teams in a season, you know, we probably won't be as dominant as we were last year, beating Conference USA opponents by an average of almost 2 touchdowns and field goals. But yeah, I could see us grinding out 8-2.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think I'm in between you guys, really. I'm not as confident as I was yesterday, so a little bit of Dan, but I'm still relatively confident that we can do it again just because we can outskill just about every other team in the entire conference.
It even more than how quickly the offense adjusts, I still think the season, and we'll end it here, comes down to how quickly they get that front seven going on defense. That's what that season comes down to. Because then if the defense starts to play well, FAU's running game and all that stuff, FAU can kind of be this defensive running team.
That's right? Like your dream. Yeah. That is your dream.
No. 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Well, yeah, definitely major props to the FAU Owl's Nest team. If you're not already following them, which probably hard to believe if you are watching this, make sure at FAU Owl's Nest on Twitter, FAUOwlsNest.com, on the interwebs, make sure you're checking out the forum and all the articles that are being posted there. So make sure you're checking this out. And again, we appreciate all the love and you guys taking the time to listen to us today. So again, biggest news, Chris Robinson not with the team anymore as we begin, I guess, summer camp, fall camp. I'm not even sure what you would what you would call this now, but definitely, as always, we'll keep you posted on everything that's going on. And yeah, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Go Owls.